I have my Bible open to Ephesians chapter 2, if you'd like to join me there. Also on the projection there in front of you, a familiar passage to many, I'm sure. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, hear the inerrant, inspired word of the Holy God. And you were dead in the trespasses and sin in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His word. Grace, grace, God's grace, the undeserved merit that we have gained. I must tell you, I feel like I've been in this sermon for the entire length of this service, beginning out with the baptism and speaking of God's grace. Speaking to the children about this table and speaking of God's grace. Being in worship service here this morning is God's grace toward us. The act of baptism, as I pointed out, is an act of God's grace. The Lord's Supper, of which we are about to enjoy God's grace. But let us not look to these larger items here. It can be said that the next breath you draw is owed to God's grace. Paul writes here in verses 4 and 5, but God, being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive. Grace has made us alive and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places, so that in the coming ages He might show His immeasurable riches. The aspect of baptism in the Lord's Supper is an aspect of this. God's showing His immeasurable riches toward you in these visible symbols of baptism and of the Lord's Supper. The grace that's being given to us. And then that most familiar passage, verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of your own doing. This is an amazing thought. That before Christ you were dead. Physically you may be walking this earth, but before Christ you were dead spiritually. But here through the coming of Jesus Christ and through the work of the Holy Spirit, as the choir is saying, and we sang in our first song this morning, the Holy Spirit comes and brings that living essence to us through regeneration. One commentator writes, God's eternal love toward His creatures is the fountain which all His mercies flow. And that love of God is a great love, and that mercy is a rich mercy. The grace that saves is free. It is the undeserved goodness and favor of God, and He saves not by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. Grace in the soul is a new life in the soul. A regenerated sinner becomes a living soul, and he has a life of holiness. The grace from God toward the believer that we enjoy, that we see celebrated in these items of baptism and Lord's Supper. This is the fulfillment of a covenant made long, long ago. God told Abraham in verse 1 of chapter 17, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you, and may you multiply and you greatly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. What we've witnessed here today is the fulfillment of that covenant. What we've witnessed here today is the fulfillment of that promise God gave to Abraham long, long ago. In the Old Testament, circumcision was the act that was that outward marker that revealed the people of God. It was the outward marker that showed that that person, that family, belonged to God. Now, as I read earlier, through New Testament teaching, baptism has now replaced that of circumcision, and it is for all covenant believers. This young lady here that we've given baptism to today. What Abraham did for his offspring way back then is exactly what we have just done to Amelia. We've marked her. We've marked her. We've marked her as belonging to the covenant family of God. Baptism is a sign of the covenant. It's a sign signifying God's care. But it's also a seal, a bond that brings the recipient into the bonds of the family of God. All of you who were witnesses to this today, witness that marking. That Amelia belongs not only to Jeremy and Emily. They have the stewardship of this young lady for her life here. But she also belongs to the covenant family of God. That's the reason I made it of such importance when you stood and said you would help teach this child. The covenant family comes together and does that. But we have another visible sign here we're about to partake. And it's the covenant again that God made with His people that's present here today. In the book of Hebrews, we read this. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, He entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by the means of His own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of the defiled persons with the ashes of the heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, He is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. A lot of words, but wonderful words, that the blood of Jesus Christ, that spilled blood of Christ, not only purifies the flesh, but brings the soul into that covenant relationship with God. The shedding of blood, the breaking of the body, purchased redemption for all of us who call on Jesus Christ as Lord. In Luke chapter 22, our Lord says, speaking of the cup He drank that night at the Last Supper, He said, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in My blood." The covenant God made with Abraham. We see the fulfillment of that covenant, the completion of that covenant work in the work of Jesus Christ. God said to Abraham, this would be an eternal covenant. Here, the writer to the Hebrews said, this is an eternal restoration, an eternal covenant made. And the blood secures, the blood fulfills the covenant God made with Abraham. It's almost overwhelming, I think, if you sit and give that thought for just a bit. Abraham, standing on the plains of that desert, trying to count the stars, trying to count the sands upon the seashore, because that's what God told him, that your nation, the people, would outnumber the stars. And that he would be the father of a nation. The Israelites, yes, of the Old Testament. But more particularly, the Church of Jesus Christ. That covenant that God made with Abraham. We see the fulfillment and the securing of that sign and seal in the work of Jesus Christ. And then today, through baptism, we extended that covenant to Amelia. She's marked. She's marked. The covenant. The covenant blessings of God. The covenant blessings of God brought to His people. The grace that Paul speaks of here in the book of Ephesians. It is grace that's offered to us through the completed work of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. Speaking of grace, I asked the children this question. They said, yes, they deserved it, but we'll just take it to them not understanding. Do you deserve this baptism? Do you deserve to be in a covenant relationship with the Most High? Do we deserve this table? Have I done anything that would cause me, of my own favor, to be invited to this table? No, none of us have. But through that shed blood, through that broken body, through that invitation by the Holy Spirit of which we've been singing about today, that Holy Spirit to you, drawing you, bringing you into that saving faith, that grace, God's grace. Jesus Christ said on the night He was betrayed, to do this in remembrance of me. To do this in remembrance of me. So what do we remember? Everything. Everything. We remember Jesus Christ's life. Sinless. Walked among us. Walked among the created beings in a sinless life. He fulfilled the law on your behalf. The law still stands. The covenant law still stands. He filled it on our behalf. We remember that. In His death on the cross, He died for our sin. It would do no good for me to be hung to that cross. I do not have value enough. Jesus Christ did. And so therefore, as Paul teaches, we are seated in the heavenly realms with Christ Jesus. Also in this table, we remember His resurrection. I've said so many times that just the forgiveness of sin would be enough. Just the forgiveness of sin would be grace enough. But it's not only the forgiveness of sin, it is that seating in the heavenly realms. That we will have eternity with Jesus Christ. Can you imagine? We should write a song. I can only imagine. I can't. Folks, the grace that we have, we say it so quickly, we possibly run by it without gaining a full appreciation of its merit to us. In baptism and in the Lord's Supper, we see the wonderful extension of God's grace to us. And it's a beautiful blessing. The Word made visible right here. We're doing what God told Abraham to do. We're doing what God told, what Jesus told us to do and to remember. We are doing this here today.